You know, it's always good to be reminded, Frankie, that we need Jesus. Thank you for reminding of us how much we need Jesus. In fact, we need Jesus so much to do what we're going to be talking about today. And a little bit of a side warning, this is one big introduction to the next several weeks to come. We're going to get into something today that's going to take us a little bit to discuss. But in particular, today we're going to be talking about what does this mean? And I have to thank my lovely wife for the beautiful artwork that she made for the sermon series. What does it mean to live 70x7 unoffended? And we'll be turning to the gospel according to Matthew. We'll be looking at the 18th chapter, verses 21 through 35 this morning. And if you're able to, please turn there in your Bibles. I will be reading from the English Standard Version, but any version of the Word of God will suffice. But turn with me there or scroll with me there on your phones or whatever device you're using and join me in reading about a dialogue between Peter and Jesus. Now, as everybody's getting to Matthew 18, just a little bit of context here. Jesus just got done laying out what I like to call the rules of engagement for conflict in the body of Christ in Matthew 18. What comes before verse 20 is this, right before verse 20, is this dialogue where Jesus says, if a brother sins against you, go to him and tell him his fault. And if he admits to it, you've gained your brother back. But if he doesn't, go get two or three so that there can be witnesses and that they can take account of the whole thing. And if they can reach your brother, then you've won your brother. And then if they don't listen to the two or three, go before the whole church, the whole assembly. And if they don't listen to them, treat them like a sinner or a tax collector. Now, a Gentile or tax collector is the exact words Jesus uses. And most people use that passage as a, okay, fine, I can just finally just be done with it. Be done with them. You know, they know they shouldn't have done what they did to me. That's not what Jesus is teaching. Because as I've taught before, whose gospel records this? Matthew's. What was Matthew? Does anybody know what Matthew did before he followed Jesus? He was a tax collector. How do you think Matthew perceived this teaching of Jesus? Matthew's the only gospel that puts this teaching of Jesus in his gospel. So it was important to Matthew. This was significant to Matthew, being that he's the only one that puts this teaching here in his gospel. He saw Jesus saying, treat them like I treated Matthew. Treat them like I treated Matthew. Mercy. Kindness, love, to still extend that hand and that offer for reconciliation, even when they won't listen to everyone else. Treat them like I treated Matthew. I believe that's how Matthew interpreted what Jesus said here, bringing us to Matthew 18, verse 20, where Peter asks a very loaded question and gives a pretty decent answer. To a world standards, he gives a really difficult answer, but Jesus explains more. Then Peter came up to him and said, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. Now, just real quick, does anyone have a translation that says 70 times 7? I see a few hands, We're going to get into that here in a little bit. But he doesn't say 77 times, but I say 77 or 70 times 7 times, depending on the translation you're reading. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought before him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, implored him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything." And out of pity for him, the master of the servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, "Pay what you owe." So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you." He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I have had mercy on you?" And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debts. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. In this today, we're going to be engaging in an exercise and a journey to begin to fully understand how to live in the way of Jesus. And one such way that Jesus teaches us to live is to live in forgiveness towards others. Not just towards ourselves. You know, sometimes we can be our own worst critics, but we can forgive ourselves pretty easily. But to be living in forgiveness to others. You see, we're called to live in accordance to this way. He directs us to live this way. And for us to truly be light and salt to this dark and flavorless world, we must learn the way of Jesus when it comes to forgiveness. Because this isn't optional for us, as our passage says in verse 35. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. Jesus also makes this more clear in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6, verse 14 through 15, where it says, "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Making it obvious, if we truly desire to live in a reconciled relationship with God, we must seek to live in a reconcilable way with others. We must always seek to live in a reconcilable way with others, forgiving others as we have been forgiven. Now, this is a lot easier said than done, because to do this, we must learn something more. Because forgiveness is, real forgiveness is hard. Real forgiveness is difficult. We must learn to do something more than simply telling someone they're forgiven. Because simply just telling someone they're forgiven isn't forgiveness. Forgiveness is so much more than audible words. It's something that must come from deep within inside here, deep within inside the heart. Just saying the words means nothing. The action of releasing an individual of the offense that they committed against you or someone else means everything. Because that's what Jesus has done for us. He's released us from the offense that we have caused to God by our sin. He has released us from the offense we have caused to others because of our sin. He no longer harbors it against us. He no longer makes us bear and carry that weight. He has lifted it up off of us. He has freed us from the offense. You see, forgiveness and living unoffendable go hand in hand with one another. Forgiveness and living unoffendable go hand in hand with one another. Because living unoffended towards others and living in forgiveness towards others is one and the same. We cannot have one without the other. You cannot truly forgive someone if you still have offense in your heart. Offense is like bitterness. And a friend of mine taught me a very valuable lesson about bitterness. Bitterness is like swallowing poison and hoping someone else dies from it. It will kill your heart. It will embitter your heart. You can't look at another individual through the eyes of Jesus when you are offended at them. And this is a really difficult thing because in today's world, we're taught to be offended. In fact, you can't turn on a news station without finding someone who is offended. You can't turn on Facebook without seeing someone who is offended. Offense is a normal thing in our culture. We in Christ have been called to a better way, Jesus' way. And that is to truly live 70/7 unoffended. Because it's when we can let go of the offense, when we can let go of harboring offense to someone, we can truly say the words and mean it. You are forgiven. You are forgiven. Because that is what Jesus has done for us. That yet while we were sinners, Christ still died for us. A wonderful promise. A wonderful truth taught to us in God's word that yet while we were still sinners, we were guilty and convicted to death. He died for us, paying the penalty and price for our sin so we could yet live again in Him. It's really hard, though, to live a life of forgiveness in today's world because not only are we encouraged to be offended, we are cheered on in our offense. We are cheered on in it. We live in a world of offense that goes to great lengths, not only to be offended, but to justify their offense. I found a funny picture on Facebook the other day, and I'm going to put it up here. It was called "The Meme That Can Offend No One." It says, "Finally, I found a meme that won't offend anyone." And of course, I had a friend, you know, it's a picture of nothing. I had a friend who jokingly back east had to comment on the picture, and he says, "Well, why does it have to be a square? Why couldn't it be a circle? Why couldn't it be an octagon?" Of course, my friend was joking. However, in this day and age, we can always find a reason to be offended. And people are really good at mining that mine to find that one thing that they can be offended at, someone or something. And we have platforms today in today's world to intensify our offense and to gather around us people who think like us and who are going to join us in our cause. In a sense, they're going to join us in grabbing our pitchforks and our torches to go chase down Frankenstein's monster because Frankenstein's monster has offended me and we're going to go take him down. And we have these platforms like social media that just intensifies that. When that is not the way Jesus teaches us, you'll get the boot quicker than you'll ever get the friend request for disagreeing with someone. And that is the harsh reality of the world we live in. We are called to be holy. We are called to be set apart. We are called to be children of God, children of the light. But because of our flesh, because of our offense, we can always struggle with this call to forgiveness. Because until we can truly learn the way of Jesus, to let go even to the point of death, death on a cross, it is impossible for us to truly live a life of forgiveness. If you hear anything I say today, please hear this, which is the key takeaway point at the top of the sermon notes page. We will never learn how to truly practice forgiveness if we can't first learn the practice of being unoffendable. We will never learn how to truly practice forgiveness if we can't first learn the practice of being unoffendable. Now, I'm willing to admit the word unoffendable doesn't exist in the dictionary. It's It's a word I created for this purpose, but it means what we think it means. It means to live in an unoffended nature, to live in an unoffended state. It's the only thing that really holds us back, I believe, in this day and age, amongst others, but it is the primary thing that holds us back, that we need to learn to practice forgiveness. It's a really big thing. I misspoke. It's not the only thing, but it is a really big thing that we need to learn and will have to daily choose to do if we truly want to live in the way of Jesus, which is 70 by 7. Speaking of this 70 by 7, it's a direct reference to the passage we just read at the start of our morning in the Word of God from Matthew 18, where Peter posed a very interesting question. He posed a very strong question about the subject of forgiveness, and we got to understand what Peter's really asking here. Jesus, when is it okay for me to not forgive? That is what Peter's really asking. When is it okay for me to finally just stick it to them, to give them what they have coming to them, to give them what they deserve? When is it okay for me to just wash my hands of a person and kick them to the curb? This is what Peter is asking. In fewer words, how often shall I forgive my brother? As many as 7 times? And we got to ask about this, is what is Peter really saying when he says this? As many as 7 times? Why the number of 7? We got to understand where Peter's answer is coming from. Peter thinks he has the perfect answer. I fully believe he believes he has the perfect answer because he uses the Hebraic number for perfection. You see, numbers meant something to the Hebrew people. Numbers meant something to those in Israel. Numbers are a huge deal in the Bible. They really are. There's some significance to the numbers and their values. The number 7, for example, is the number of perfection. It's also the 7th, which could also mean the Sabbath, the rest. 7 was a significant number. It was a special number. And just like in our culture, in our times, where we have sayings, 3 strikes and you're out, just like in our culture where we have that saying and those phrases, in this time and in this culture, they kind of taught the similar thing. You should forgive your brother, your sister, or whoever it is, at least 3 times. That 3 times is enough. So not only is Peter doubling the standard the culture teaches, he's adding 1. And not only is he doubling and adding 1, he is using the perfect number. So Jesus, if I forgive them 7 times, my forgiveness is pretty darn near perfect, right? I could just see him, if he had a coat on, just kind of popping his jacket and saying, I got it. Don't I, Jesus? Don't I have it? And this is where Jesus answers Peter. And his answer, I believe, caught Peter off guard. Jesus says in Matthew 18, verse 22, he said to him, I do not say to you 7 times, but 77 times. Or as other translators have translated, 70 by 7. Well, which one is it? What's the answer? Is it 77 or 490? For any of those that are trying to make a journal so you can keep track of how many times someone offends you, you know, okay, we're at 77, or we're finally at 490. I could be done, right? The point is the number doesn't matter. The number doesn't matter. And if you would like me to sit with you and explain to you why certain things like this are different in different translations, I'll be more than happy to give you that lecture. But for our purposes today, I really don't want to put any of you guys to sleep. So the point is, though, that depending on the source material, depending on who's translating it, this is one of those foggy areas in the Bible, these words. But most translators agree the answer doesn't matter. What matters is what Jesus is conveying with his answer. And before we fret, Jesus is not giving us math homework. So you can put your pens and pencils down. He's not giving us math homework to do Not only is he asking us to forgive, but now he's making us do math, like the famous meme says. And if you could put that up real quick, that's been floating around the internet for a couple of years. Well, it's a picture of Jesus with his disciples, and the disciples are all like, great, not only do I have to forgive my brother, now I have to do math. Forgive, because it's easier than math. Math is hard. The point is, whether the answer is 77 or 70 times 7, the point of Jesus remains the same. It's the number of perfection multiplied to an exhausting amount, an exhausting point. Jesus isn't expecting anyone to keep a little tally with them and marking all 77 times they forgave an individual. What Jesus is conveying to the disciples is, you forgive them as many times as it takes. You forgive them as many times as it takes, because I have forgiven you as many times as it takes. You ever think about that promise? All sin, past, present, future, covered by Christ. He doesn't have a tally book that he's going, well, Brandon just screwed up his 490th time, so I guess he's out. He doesn't have that tally book because, boy, I bet you it's way over 490 right now. The point is, you forgive as much as it takes. You seek to live in harmony with others, even though they would rush to offense against you, that you would relinquish that offense on others as many times as it takes. Because, to be honest, to be offended at the sins of others while ignoring our own sin is backwards, as not being willing to forgive others of their sin as God has forgiven us. Like the parable Jesus teaches us after his little math problem he gives the disciples. He teaches us a very important parable about the unforgiving servant. We know the parable. We just read it right before our time digging into God's word. We read the parable of the unforgiving servant, and we read its conclusion, and it couldn't be clearer with its meaning. When it says in Matthew 18, 32 through 35, then his master summoned him and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should you not have had mercy on your fellow servant as I have had mercy on you? And in anger, the master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. We cannot forget these words of warning given to us by Jesus. And this is not an isolated warning or an isolated teaching of Jesus, as we've already addressed Matthew's other passages that teach us this. When Jesus says, if we do not forgive others, our heavenly Father will not forgive us, living 70 by 7 is not optional. Therefore, we must learn how to do it and how to forgive, no matter how many times it takes. In particular, the first thing we need to learn is how to be unoffended. Because it is learning how to be unoffended, we can learn how to truly live a life of forgiveness towards others. Jesus calls us to live. The life that he calls us to live is one of forgiveness. And when we can learn the nature of what it truly means to live unoffended, we can clearly clear the road to forgiveness. We can clear that road, and we can see clearly. We can begin to look at others as Jesus looks towards us and them. We can begin to put on those God lenses. To see this more clearly, what does it mean to be offended? In short, it means to be resentful or annoyed. Another definition given in the dictionary is typically as a result of a perceived insult. And I love that wording, a perceived insult. How often do we rush and jump to a conclusion over perception? It looks this way, so it must be this way. Something I had to learn a long time ago, a very difficult way, was perception is not always reality. And so often we'll jump to a fence based upon a perceived insult when there was no insult intended ever. A perceived sin that really never happened. It's so easy to jump to conclusions. Common synonyms of being offended are upset, insulted, affronted, aggrieved, displeased, hurt, wounded, disgruntled, put out, annoyed, angry, cross, exasperated, indignant, irritated, vexed, irked, and resentful. I just want to ask a quick question. Are any of those verbs, any of those emotions, any of those feelings synonyms to forgiveness? No. They're the complete opposite of forgiveness. They're the complete opposite of what should be in our heart if we want to truly live a life of forgiveness. They are antonyms to the word forgiveness. Therefore, if we truly wish to live as Jesus calls us to live, 70 by 7, we must learn to be the opposite of offended. And that means to be unoffended. That means to live unoffended. To truly let go and move on when we feel insulted. To truly let go and move on from our anger. To truly let go and move on from our need for restitution and retribution. Jesus doesn't teach us the way of restitution and retribution. He doesn't teach us the way of getting back what we think we're owed. He teaches us the way of forgiveness. He teaches us the way of reconciliation as he has reconciled us with him. Are we willing to do it, though? Which is the question we're going to go home with today. Are we willing to put aside our feelings and desires for retribution when someone wrongs us, to bestow upon them the gift of reconciliation and forgiveness? Can we let go of our offended natures and live and walk in the way that Jesus would have us walk? Because we will never truly learn the practice of forgiveness if we can't first learn the practice of being unoffended. Will we choose this day to take on this challenge? To when we feel that offended nature in our heart coming out, to stop and pray and seek the Lord and say, Lord, how is it you can look at me and say you love me with my sin and with my mess? How is it, Lord, that you can look to me and offer me forgiveness? And then show me now, Lord, how it is you do that with me so I can do it with them. We're going to get hurt in this life. I think everyone knows this. There are going to be days where people will sin against you. It's going to happen. And if it hasn't happened, please, I want to hear your story. That'd be, wow. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And when it happens, the first place we should hit is our knees before we hit Facebook. First place we should hit is the floor before we start calling everyone else and saying, will you believe what they did? And just spewing our bitterness, spewing our offense onto others. The first thing we should do is ask God to help us let it go so that we could truly live in forgiveness to our brothers and sisters, and to everyone else around us. Would we be willing? That's the ultimate question. Would we be willing? As we continue on these next several weeks to really talk about how this is done, how it is that we can truly live 70 by 7 unoffended. This is the word of the Lord. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord remains forever. Amen.